Got new glasses.
Yeah. I've been practicing at home, been taking them off, like preacher does, right? I take them off and get ready to say something. And put read. I haven't got it down yet, but I'm trying. I'm going to get it. You just give me time. All right. He's our sample, right? So it's not that bad of a thing. All right, Romans chapter 14. And we'll pick up where we left off. And we'll pray real quick before we get started because I need the prayer. So let's pray. Father, Lord God, I pray you'd forgive me, Lord, for any sins that's between me and you, Lord, that I've committed against you, God. I pray you'd cleanse me, wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray you'd shut my mouth when it needs to be shut. And if there's anything on this pad, Lord, that I've written down that shouldn't be said, I just pray you'd help me to skip over it and help me to say the things that you want said, Lord. And I pray that your people will learn something today, Lord, and that you'd help me, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. So we left off around verse number 5 and 6, I believe. We're talking about he that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So it came up the discussion of what days do you observe for holy days and holidays and such matter. We covered a little bit of that, and we talked about how people in different countries, sometimes they can't observe the same day. And one of the things that we had talked about was that there wasn't anything in the New Testament that really gave you a rule on what day you had to worship. Well, we had said that there was scriptural reason to back up why you should meet on Sunday. So let's look at some of them verses. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16, and we'll go to verse 1 and 2. We'll just go over some of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches to Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay up by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So he was meeting on the first day of the week. Let's look at Acts 18. Acts 18. We're going to go line upon line and precept upon precept. Scripture with scripture. It's the only way to really teach the Bible because other than that, what are you giving? Just your opinion. So let's go scripture with scripture. Acts 18, and we'll start at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Verse number 4. Now, you got Jews talking to Jews here. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. You need to pay attention to the words when you're reading. In the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And read on. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So now you have the Jews meeting on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday, in the synagogue. Paul just said, I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. Right? So now, verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So look back. Look back at back to Romans 14. No, I'm almost wrong one, I'm sorry. Anyways, we'll keep going. So you got look at Acts chapter 20. Stay right there, my fault. Acts chapter number 20, verse 6 and 7. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days. Where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, they break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So the first day of the week. So again, you're seeing time and time again where the Gentiles are meeting on the first day of the week. We're not Jews. Some people may be descendants of Jews, but in this church age, the Bible says there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, the Gentile. We're all in one body. We're in the body of Christ. So Paul turned to the Gentiles, And if you've done any kind of study in your Bible, you understand that Paul, his main ministry was all to the Gentiles. And we read a lot of his stuff in the New Testament, and it tells us how to conduct ourselves as Christians. The book of Romans was written by Paul. So you can look at Matthew. We'll look at Matthew chapter 28. Here's another reason why you meet on the first day of the week. And all of these scriptures will match up. Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24. Look at the first verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So with all them scriptures, you can see that underneath of the law, the Jews were worshiping on Saturday, was the last day of the week. That was the day they worshiped on Saturday, correct? And now in the New Testament, the Gentiles were worshiping on the first day of the week. Now, like you said earlier, you said, well, why did you say that some people can worship on other days? Well, because under certain circumstances, are you going to risk your life to worship when you can just do it on a different day? So in other countries like China, Communist China, and other places, Saudi Arabia, if you were over there and you couldn't publicly meet and worship on Sunday, but you could do it on Monday together and get away with it with no conflict, which would you choose? That's a question that you'd have to leave up to yourself. Is it to the point where you say, well, by God, I'm going to worship on the first day of the week? Well, by reading your Bible, you understand that the Bible doesn't say that you have to worship on the first day of the week. But you need to keep in mind that people are watching you. People expect Sunday to be a holy day to you. Whether your neighbors believe that it's holy or not, they expect Sunday to be a holy day for you. They expect to see you getting up, going to Sunday school. They expect to see you coming to Sunday morning service. And they expect to see you going to Sunday night. They're watching you. Amen. Folks, your friends, your neighbors, they pay attention to you. And if you name the name of Jesus Christ and you say that you're a Christian and you don't go to church consistently, they consider you a hypocrite. Amen. And so do I. Amen. I consider you a hypocrite. I'll just stand here and say it. And maybe that's wrong for me to say it, but that's how I feel about it. If you're not consistent, you're being hypocritical. If you're not doing what you say you're doing, that makes you a hypocrite. That's not my opinion. You can look it up in the dictionary. If you're not doing what you say you're going to do, and you tell other people to do it, you say you ought to be in church Sunday, you ought to worship the Lord, you ought to do right, and you don't do it, that makes you a hypocrite. Just plain and simple. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. So it also goes as far as to say is when people see you hanging out in the hallway to church. When you're out there hanging out and folks are coming in, you got lost folks coming in that are coming to visit. Now, I'm not saying about people watching the door and taking your kids out and going to the bathroom. I'm talking about people just hanging out in the hallway. Amen. There's no need for it. Why are you hanging out there for? People look at you like you're a hypocrite. Amen. You're standing out in the hallway. You're talking. You're gossiping. You're supposed to be here in church to worship the Lord. Sunday, holy day, holiday, holy day. Worship the Lord. Now, I know there's reasons why people do certain things, and some things are unavoidable. But if you can be inside these doors and learning and worshiping God, that's where you ought to be. People come in, they see you, they say, well, what kind of joke is this? This is a social club. Amen. They don't take the Lord serious when they see you hanging out there. Right. Now, there's people that Brother Eddie and Joe Godfrey and Clinton, they help out in the kitchen. There's junior church teachers and different things. Understand that. But you ought to be in church. People are watching you. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll look at verse 58. You ought to memorize this verse. It's a good verse to memorize. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You're not abounding in the work of the Lord when you're standing outside. You're not abounding in the work of the Lord when you're fooling around. You need to be abounding in the work of the Lord. This is scripture. This is not my opinion. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, you're laboring in the Lord. That's what it's about, is you're doing something for the Lord. So that's a good verse to memorize. So when you skip church or you're not in church, people are watching you. Amen. You ought to remember that. Romans 14, 16. Go back to Romans 14. And look at this. And I got something to say about this. And my own fault that happened to me, something I did that I shouldn't have done. Romans 14, verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, what I give you an example of something happened to me. I was at work, and I'm always joking around. Everybody knows I love the Lord, but they know I'm a jokester, and I do a lot of dumb stuff. There's a black fellow there. He was a good friend of mine. I tried to sell him a car, but he didn't buy it. You know, there was no problem between me and him. There's no racism. It wasn't nothing like that. We were friends, and me and him joke around with each other. He's outside, and there's a food truck that comes up, and they sell food. So the guy's sitting out there, and he's eating the sausage and egg sandwich. I've been noticing, watching that all the black dudes there were putting grape jelly on her scrapple sandwich and on her sausage sandwich. Now, I asked him in a sincere heart. I said, can I ask you something? Because I wanted to try it. I'm not lying to you. I wanted to try it. I said, why don't, and I was real particular about the way I worded it. And even though I was particular about the way I worded it, I said, why do all the black guys that I see here, I was real careful about it, that I see, put the grape jelly on her scrapple or sausage sandwich? Because it's good. I said, oh, okay. No problem. The next week, the next day I went outside. I bought me a scrapple egg sandwich. I put some grape jelly on it. I said, man, this thing is terrific. This thing is great. I said, I've been missing this all this time. But you know what? There was a guy that walked by, white guy, walks by. He got offended. Listen, my good that I was trying to witness there and trying to tell people about Jesus Christ, my good could be evil spoken of. Why? Because of my foolish jesting with this man. Somebody might not receive the gospel because they had taken me as a racist. Or they had taken me as somebody that's just a bigot or a fascist, right? So that could be my good being evil spoken of. That's just an example for you in my own life. I'm not a racist. I don't care one way or the other. But what I'm just telling you is that this guy was my friend. He was a black man. I'm a white man. And somebody else heard us talking, and it was evil spoken of. I got written up for it. They wrote me up for being racially insensitive. They wrote me up for it. Well, either way, as a Christian, I don't have the right for that. As a Christian, I should have said, you know what? I was foolish jesting, and the Bible tells you not to do that. So I had to take it, and I said, I had to tell him, I'm wrong. No matter, me and him, the conversation was all right. We were just joking around with each other, but I was wrong, and I have to admit that. I shouldn't have been doing that. I should have just shut my mouth and not said that stuff. So my good was evil spoken of. Let's move on after. Let's get past that. Verse number 6, it's the same thing. We talked about that when it comes to holy days and so on, and eating and giving God thanks. Look at Ephesians 5:20. You got to be real particular. Be real careful. People are fickle these days. You got to watch what you're saying. If you name the name of Jesus, what I'm saying is, it may not seem fair, but if you name the name of Jesus, you got to be on guard. You got to watch what you're saying. And that was the whole point of that story, is you just got to watch what you're doing, because you're ambassador of Jesus Christ. It may not seem fair, but that's just the way it is. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, a couple verses about giving thanks. 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Should I give thanks for getting written up? He said, give thanks in all things. It was a lesson. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it didn't go worse than what it did. Thank you that it didn't totally ruin my testimony. Thank you that I got an opportunity to learn from that and know that in the future I need to shut my mouth sometimes. Thank you, Lord. That's just thank you. That's the problem with folks. They don't want to give thanks. Romans chapter 1 talks about it. And you read that whole chapter, and they've already went over that in the beginning of the study. You don't give thanks, what happens? God turns you over to a reprobate mind. And I'm not saying that you'll become homosexual. I'm just saying whatever it is, he can just turn you over to yourself. He'll let you have your own way. You ever had your kids that they've been wanting something once and you say, no, it ain't good for you. No, it ain't good for you. No, stop. No, stop. They say the only way they're going to learn is if they do it. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. And they go and do it and they get hurt. Guess what happens? They don't touch the heater no more. They don't play around over there when they fall and bust their head open. I know that's a hard way to do it, but sometimes that's the only way people learn. And God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. You got to be careful. Verse number 7, Romans 14, back to Romans 14, number 7. Romans 14, 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Folks, there's a whole lot right there. Christians that today, they act like they're an island, like they're the only ones around, like nothing else matters. Well, I'm not doing anything wrong, but what are you doing right? Just because you're not doing anything wrong, does that mean you're doing right? We say, well, what do you mean, Brother Eric? If you're riding down the road and you see a woman broke down on the side of the road, and now you got your wife and kids with you, so you got some accountability. You see a woman broke down the side of the road, she got her kids, you going to stop and ask her if she needs help, or are you just going to keep on going? That might be an opportunity to give that woman the gospel. God might have let her got a flat tire so you could stop and help her, and now you've won her over, and you can say, do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, or can I give you a gospel tract? Well, most Christians today don't even carry gospel tracts with them. Most Christians today don't want to be bothered. They just feel like, I'll just live myself. I'm doing right. I'm not doing anything wicked. I'll just live the way I want to live. But that ain't the way it is. You don't live to yourself. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And we're going to talk about that. People are watching you, especially among athletes today. You think about this. Babe Ruth, he was famous for what? Home runs. Guess what else he was famous for? Drinking beer and being a sot drunk. He was being a drunk. And you know, he was offered a big contract to make movies and advertise for beer, beer ads. You know, he turned it down. You know why he turned it down? Because he had enough character to say, there's some young men that are watching me. I'm their hero. And if I'm drinking and I'm doing this and I'm advertising it, they might be that way too. Another example, Johnny Broderick. He was a tough cop in New York, 1920s and 1930s. He was known for just police brutality and just getting the job done. Well, guess what? There was a movie put out, and I don't remember the name of the movie, but somebody asked him, he said, you going to go see this movie? He said, no, I'm not going to see that movie. The star of that movie smoked cigarettes. He said, and I don't smoke cigarettes, and I don't want my kids to worship a cigarette-smoking gangster. People, I'm telling you, that there's unsaved men and women that got more character than saved men and women. Some Christians today don't got enough character to write a science fiction novel. I'm telling you, the lost people got some character, and you need to think about that. You need to think, what kind of character do I have? How is my life affecting others? Let's keep going. Number three, someone's always watching you. You won't make it through this Christian life without offending somebody. Ain't that the truth, Brother Ken? Ain't that the truth? You won't make it through this life without offending somebody. But listen, let the offense come from doing what God told you to do. Let it come from doing what you're supposed to be doing, the way you're supposed to be doing it, how you're supposed to be doing it. Don't let that offense come from your own self-will and your own sin and your own pride and arrogancy. Psalms 119, 165, perfect peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Do you love the law of God? Do you love God? You say you do. But do we really love him? Because we can't say that we love him. We can't say that we love the law because we don't know the law. Why don't we know the law? Because we're lazy. Because we won't pick up the Bible and read. We'll read our one Proverbs a day. Or we'll read our quote three chapters a day so that we can read our Bible in 1 year. But you're not applying it. You're not getting nothing from it. You need to know the law of the Lord, to understand the law of the Lord, so you can apply it to your life. And that's how you're going to make a difference in other folks' lives. So, if you have a doubt about what you do, here are the basic rules by which to judge actions that may be questionable. One, when dealing with God, does it please God? If you can say, this pleases God, then do it. Who cares if I'm preaching against it? Who cares who else is preaching against it? If it pleases God, we went over that in Revelations. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For all things were and are created for what? Thy pleasure. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're in your flesh, it probably doesn't please God. Amen? Amen. It don't please God. So that's the first thing. First thing is, does it please God? Second is, would I like to have the Lord find me doing it when he returns? If you can sit there and watch that filth that you're watching, and you think that the Lord's all right with it, and you'd be all right with him coming and taking you out of here, by all means, watch it. Don't let me stop you. Who am I? Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm just a saved sinner, saved by grace. That's it. But if you can do it, and you think that the Lord coming back, and he can come and call you out, and you have that cigarette in your hand or that glass of wine, because wine's all right, right? We can drink a little wine. We're not getting drunk. We're just drinking wine. Come on, that's a bunch of bull. Amen. Drinking, we can drink a little bit of wine. For real? Come on, you already know, but I don't have to preach against it. You already know. Amen. You already know it's wrong. Your conscience already tells you that it's wrong. But you try and justify. How many people I see at work, they're always so-called Christians, they're telling me, oh, you can drink wine. The Lord turned the water into wine. If you think about how many gallons of fermented liquor that would have been, it would have been enough to get a whole army drunk. And if the Lord made that much wine to get a whole army drunk, he was a sinner. And if he was a sinner, we're damned to hell anyway, so you might as well just go do what you want to do. So you make your choice. You can't have it your way. It's not Burger King. You can't just take what you want and leave the rest. You got to follow that book 100%. Now, I know I fall a lot, but you got to get back up. Righteous man falls 7 times, but you got to get back up and keep trying. You fall, just get the thing right, man. Don't worry about it. Don't say, well, they're judging me. They're preaching against me. Everything's against me. No, that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm just giving you what the Lord gave me. And I didn't really start. I mulled this thing over in my mind all week, and I fretted trying to do it. And I was like, man, I don't want to do it. I was so excited when preachers said he's going to give some guys opportunities to teach. And I wanted to do it. And then when it came time, I was like, man, I don't want to do it. After seeing some of these guys, I said, man, I can't teach like they were teaching. But that's just the devil. It's just the devil. This is what the Lord gave me, and if it's, that's just it. So number three, can I ask God's blessing on it? So if you can take that cigarette and, Lord Jesus, thank you for this cigarette. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do it. Smoke the cigarette. Who cares if I preach against it? If you can drink that wine and say, God, thank you for this wine, thank him. If you can watch that filth and half pornography you're watching on TV, that's what it is. It's half pornography. It's the women on there are half naked. The men are half naked. It's a bunch of homosexuals, a bunch of stuff that's abomination before God's sight. And if you can watch it and thank God for it, thank him and watch it. Simple as that. That's three rules when dealing with God. Number two, when dealing with those around you, one, would it cause a weak Christian to stumble? Amen. Is what you're doing, would it cause a weaker Christian to stumble? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you're hanging out places and going places you shouldn't be. A lot of young folks like to go to the mall. And there's nothing wrong with going to the mall, but if you're dressing one way in church and then you're leaving church and you're dressing another way before you get to the mall and you're bringing, and listen, if you're bringing our young folks with you, shame on you. Amen. Shame on you if you're bringing young folks with you to the mall and you're dressing like the world. Shame on you. You ought to be ashamed. You ought to walk the way you say you're going to walk and talk the way you say you're going to talk and live the way you say you're going to live. Don't live one way here, and as soon as you get out these doors, and live another way. Amen. I know, but I'll tell you what. When I was a youngster and I was a teenager growing up in church, I didn't want to be in church. I didn't profess the name of Jesus Christ. I just said, yeah, I'm saved, but that's it. I don't want to go to church. It's just the way it was. I was rebellious and hard-hearted, like a lot of you are, even as adults. I'm still hard-hearted, and the Lord has to work on me. But most of the time, folks, I tell you, the Lord works on you through your kids. This morning, I had to deal with my son. He's been getting smart out. He's been getting an attitude. And the whole time I'm correcting him, the Lord's showing me that's, hey, son, that's you. Amen. You need to get that right. I had to get down. I was crying this morning. I said, God, forgive me. I didn't let him see that. He wanted to go pray. He said, pray by himself. And I was in my room. I shut the door and get down and pray and confess my sin and ask God to forgive me. Because that's the way we get. We get in our vain imaginations. And we start thinking that we're more than what we are. That's just human nature. You say, well, we're evolving. Really? I'm wearing glasses. My back hurts. That's why I'm leaning on this pulpit. I've been out of work for 2 days. We're not getting any better. Things are getting worse. You better get close to the law of the Lord. You better start listening. You better take heed. The Bible says, any man think he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. You're going to fall. You better be careful. Right, number two, would it cause an unsaved person to reject the gospel? Is what you're doing, would it cause an unsaved person to reject the gospel? So you ride around, you're listening to that music. It's not a hymn, it's whatever, you know, whatever kind of music you listen to. Now, if that music you're listening to, and you're riding down the road, you say, well, I don't care if God catches me listening to this, because I think it's all right. Okay, fine. But number two, you're riding down the road, and it sounds like rock and roll. And this lost person sees you. And then later on that week, they see you somewhere, and you go, hey, man, let me give you a gospel track. Tell you about Lord Jesus Christ. Well, hey, didn't I see you last week in your car listening to Megadeth or Metallica? No, brother, that was such and such from wherever. Really, it sounds like rock and roll to me. I don't need what you got. I got the same thing you got. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Right? That's how it goes. You cause them to reject the gospel, you better be careful. Well, no man liveth and no man dieth to himself. I'm telling you. Now you go, so verse number 7, our lives are not our own in regards to others. Verse 8, not your own in regards to God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Folks, today Americans have this thought that in our Declaration of Independence, it says you have the right for what? You have the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. As an American, you have that right, correct? That's what the Declaration of Independence says. That ain't what Jesus Christ said. That ain't what the right you have as a Christian. As a Christian, you got the right, one, live for God, two, suffer for God, three, die for God. Sounds hard, don't it? It sounds real, real, what do you mean? I know the Christian life, blah, blah. All right, well, let's see what the Scripture says. Let's see what the Scripture says. So let's go to Luke 9, 18 to 26. Remember, you just read that you were bought with a price. If you're saved, you're bought with a price. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 9, and we're going to go to verse 18 through 26. You're bought with a price. Where are we at? Where am I at? Oh, 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? This is Luke 9, 18. Then answering said John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. Verse 21, and he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man this thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What's the cross a picture of? It's a picture of dying. And he said, die daily. As a Christian, you got the right to suffer for God. You know, Jesus Christ suffered on that cross. Amen. It wasn't no fun time on that cross. It wasn't, oh, he is God, so he didn't feel it, and it was just over quick. He suffered on that cross, folks. Amen. No man liveth and dieth to himself. The things you're doing and what you think is right and how you think that you're carrying on your life, you need to keep that in mind, that Jesus Christ suffered on that cross. And the Bible says, come after me, let him deny himself. Them things that you want to do that you say, well, it's all right, there's nothing wrong with it, it's not wicked, it's not a sin. Is it causing somebody to reject the gospel? Deny yourself. You need to think about what Jesus Christ did for you. We all do. I need to think about it more. I lose sight of that quite often. But as a Christian, we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ died and he suffered for us. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he come in his own glory and in his Father's and holy angels. You need to think about something. A lot of people get confused when they talk about the rapture in the second advent. People, a lot of times, they confuse the two things. When Jesus Christ calls us out of here, we're out of here. But when the Son of Man comes back, he's talking about your millennial inheritance. And when you go through the judgment seat of Christ, what you've done for the Lord, that's what's going to go through there. And he's talking about if you're ashamed of him and his words, you're not going to have any rewards when he comes back. You're not going to have any rewards for 1,000 years. You're living for yourself and you're doing what you want for yourself. Well, there it is. Back to Romans 14. Let's go to verse 9. For this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. That's 1 Corinthians 15. For the sake of time, I'm not going to turn there, but it's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's how you got saved, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what he came for. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Verse 10, it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Not to be confused with the great white throne judgment. People confuse that. A lot of people, they refuse to rightly divide the word of truth. They refuse. There's a lot of people that just say, well, I don't believe in dispensationalism. But who is he talking to? Who's speaking is one. Who is he speaking to is number two. And how does that apply to you? If it's a Jew talking to another Jew under the law, that probably doesn't apply to you. But if it's somebody speaking to a Gentile in the church age, you need to learn how to rightly divide it. You need to know what you believe. You get confused real easily. You need to understand that who's he talking to and what's he talking about and who's it directed to. So verse number 10, it's the judgment seat of Christ. So a lot of the other versions, such as the RSV, ASV, NASV, NIV, all these new modern versions, they change it to the judgment seat of God so that you forget that the Christian is going to give an account for what he did in his life, in his body, since the time you've been saved. So let's look at John 5, verse 28 and 29. We're going to have to quit here in a few minutes. John 5. John 5, 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves. And listen, he said all that are in the graves, not just the saved. He said all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's not the rapture, folks. That's not the rapture of the church. We're not working for salvation. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. You got it on the back of your hoodies. Not by works. We're not worrying about doing good unto the resurrection of life. We're not worried about that. We're already saved. We're in the body of Christ. Look at Revelations 20, verse 4 and 5. Wish I had more time to really get into this. We're getting ready to have to stop. Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now you just read in John 5 where he said, shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. There it is. That's the first resurrection. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So then you look at verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, Revelation 20, verse 11. And what it's getting at is that there's different judgments. But the Bible says in Hebrews 9, 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. That thing is just as sure as you're sitting here, everybody's going to be judged. You're going to face a judgment no matter whether you're saved, no matter whether you're lost. You're going to stand before God. Now, I prefer myself to know that I'm saved and know that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ. Why? Because he loves me. He's going to judge me according to the works I've done, but I'm not going to hell. There's not a possibility of it. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I am going to give an account for what I've done. That's why when, folks, when you get up here to teach or preach, and the pastor's very gracious to give us opportunity to do this, you need to be praying and asking God that you don't tell somebody something wrong, because I'm going to give an account for everything I said up here. Whether it's a little harsh or too soft or right down the middle, I'm going to give an account for it. And you're going to give an account. Well, we're going to stop right there and let's pray. Father, Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity, God. I pray that it's helped somebody. Lord, I know it helped me to study, Lord, and I thank you for the men that helped me, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for just being so good to us, God. Now, I pray that you'd bless the service coming up, be with the singing and the preaching, Lord, and any testifying with the junior churches, Lord, and anything that goes on in this property, Lord. I pray it would give you glory and honor. And I thank you, Lord, and I love you. And I just so thankful for you saving my soul, God. Help us to be good Christians, Lord. Help us as a church to do right, Lord. Help us to encourage one another. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.